This is 89.1 WEMU. David Fair with you on this Friday, and I have to tell you, the world kind of looks a little different today. We've spent decades discussing sustainable development for the future, and in Washtenaw County, what could become one of the designs for sustainable and affordable living is a lot closer to reality. The Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners this week chose a development plan for a plot of land it owns on Platte Road, and it could truly change the way we design our neighborhoods and the manner in which we choose to live. Of six development proposals, the board chose the plan known as Viridian at County Farm. It's a development proposal different than any other you've seen. Our guest this morning has been one of the driving forces behind the Viridian vision. Matt Grokoff of Ann Arbor is the principal at Thrive Collaborative. And welcome back to WEMU, Matt. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, and I'm grateful for being here. Thanks for having us on.
Well, let's talk about concept just a little bit. You've kind of characterized this as affordable living as opposed to affordable housing. Make that distinction for me.
Well, let me just be clear. So what we have here is this extraordinary collaboration, this wonderful partnership between for-profit and nonprofit developers. So we partner with Avalon Housing, who's been doing affordable housing for 20 years. And it's not just about affordable housing. The roof over your head is not enough. We have to figure out what we can't go by simple metrics of 80% of this or 60% of that. What we look at is what does the community really, really need? And what Avalon does is fulfill a niche for over 20 years of really deeply affordable housing for people who need it the most, including supportive housing for people who need extra services. But it goes beyond just services and the rooftop. It's really about social well-being. What we've done is we've created a situation where in Washtenaw County, we rank eighth in the nation for economic segregation. So it's among one of the worst places in the United States to be poor, because if you're born poor in Washtenaw County, you're likely to stay poor. And that economic segregation puts us in the eighth percentile for economic mobility. So what that means is we need to start figuring out how do we create neighborhoods where everyone can live, where you have affordable and, I joke, unaffordable housing, because we still have plenty of people above the 80%. And that 80% can help, it can fund some of that other stuff. And we can live together in a way where all the front porches are facing towards a common area, where people are interacting, where we have a place called the farm stop, the farmhouse, which is going to be modeled after Argus Farm Stop. And then beyond that, just living day to day, food, water, energy, all of these things integrated and really rethinking the way we do all of our infrastructure.
Well, let's talk about some of that infrastructure. We're talking about components of solar energy. We're talking about the potential of geothermal energy. And, of course, some of that would be used to farm and agriculture so that there is a sustainable community. It can live unto itself.
That's right. So what we have right now is really aging infrastructures, aging water, aging energy infrastructures, and they're really centralized and far away from where we use them. And in fact, if we continue that way, it's really the current development model is really a death sentence. And I don't mean that in any hyperbolic way. I mean that very seriously. It's unsustainable. So we really have to rethink, what do we mean when we say we're going to meet the Paris Climate Accords? What does that look like? And keeping adding to water pipes and continuing to tap into the energy grid where we're burning coal from a long distance and pulling in natural gas from other places and through parklands and summer camps. We need to start creating with the technology that we already have, the things that are off the shelf. So what we have is the ability to create things like renewable energy microgrids, integrated water management. And those are the kind of things that we're really going to try to work with the community to develop, where we can have an energy system that a site should be able to operate as elegantly as a flower, which meaning that it harvests its own energy, it harvests its own water, it creates zero waste, and most importantly, it's beautiful and it's integrated with all other living things around it.
Any pushback from utilities who are kind of dependent on you being attached to the grid and operating on that?
Well, this is not the current paradigm. It's not the it's not the economic model for our utility companies. Yet we see places like Green Mountain Power in Vermont and the state of New York and California really pushing for this idea of microgrids. And it's not an either or. It's not, do we have this big macro grid with centralized utility lines, or we have off-grid houses and microgrids. That's not what it is. It's all of these things working as an energy network, because that's the way nature operates. Nature doesn't centralize things. We have things that are very, very local. Flowers harvest their own energy, but they don't operate in a vacuum. They operate in with integration with all of the other living things around it, and they're beneficial. They return more ecosystem services than they take back. So these are the kind of energy systems that we're looking at, and things where we can actually own and have a more democratized grid system.
We are talking with the principal of Thrive Collaborative, Matt Grokoff, on 89.1 WEMU. We're learning more about the proposed Viridian at County Farm Affordable Living Community that may soon occupy what is now a plat-owned property owned by Washtenaw County. And let's talk a little bit about process. The bid that you put forth to Washtenaw County, $500,000, it was accepted. There were other that were among the finalists that were putting forth $2.5 million as a purchase price for the property. What do you think the county, what were its thoughts behind approving a measure that literally took millions of dollars out of the county coffers?
Well, conventional development already takes millions of dollars out of the county coffers, but it does it in a way that's hidden. So what we do is we end up subsidizing developers for externalizing all of their costs. They don't pay for the water infrastructure, the energy infrastructure, or their own pollution. And what we need to do is start figuring out ways where we can collectively figure out how do we start internalizing those costs. So we have to change the underlying structure. So what we're doing is we'll be giving land to Avalon for at no cost, which is an extraordinary benefit for them. So right there, the value has paid for itself. Beyond that, if we can have a neighborhood where no one has any energy bills, where there's no cost of carbon, we need to start thinking about looking at ways where we're taking every new development and asking them to do a complete carbon assessment. How much harm are you going to be doing in the future? Are we meeting our Paris climate targets? Are we causing asthma? Are we creating pollution locally? When you create a building that or a neighborhood that doesn't need a gas pipeline, you don't need to build more gas pipelines.
So it takes you into a new vision for the manner in which we are going to live. With that in mind, let's talk about barriers to actually getting to the development stage, because this was approval of a preliminary sort. There is a lot of work to be done before ground
sure,
ever breaks.
Yeah.
So what are the potential barriers to actually getting this in motion?
There's a lot of them.
Right.
There's no question. The challenge for us is not to worry so much about the barriers, but to set a performance metric to make sure that we're designing this from a human-centered perspective, that we're designing it for the people and the community that it's going to be in. And what that means is really deeply considering what does good look like? And then the only question is, how do we get there? And if we really push up against something and there's a barrier or a misaligned incentive, we need to come together as a community and figure out how do we overcome that barrier. So we already know that there are no engineering challenges with this project. It's not a question of can we do a microgrid? Can we harvest our own water and reuse it in a way that's healthy for the community and healthy for the Huron River watershed? We know how to do all of that stuff, and we've got all of the people on our team who know how to do it and have done it on other projects. Now the question is where are we going to bump up against things? What are those barriers, and how do we come together as a community and collaborate and figure out how to overcome those barriers?
So we're looking at approval of the next step somewhere early in 2018. Then you would have to go into the development stage, get everything approved, and
yes.
When might ground be broken?
Hopefully within the next 18 months, a year and a half, 2 years.
It's a pretty quick timeline.
Well, we hope we can do that, and we want to be able to do this in a collaborative way with the city rather than getting into some sort of posturing position where it's developer against the city or community against the developer. We've already begun working with the community. We've already had deep conversations with folks at the city and figuring out, let's look at that. What do we really need? If we need to be able to get to a zero carbon target, if we need to figure out how do we have clean water and a reasonable waste management system, how do we get there? And start figuring that out and collaborating together.
A portion of the population who believes that the best method would be to just leave it open space. How do you bring them on board?
I absolutely respect that. We do need many much more open space. The reality is that there's lots of open space we need to be using in Ann Arbor. We need to be using open space in a much better way. We need more green space. I actually advocate what New York City is looking at doing, actually shutting down and complete avenues where cars travel, creating autonomous pathways around those areas and creating more green space within our urban environment. But a space like this is actually optimal because we need to create density. We can't keep pushing out and moving people out into farmlands. We're building in Saline on prime agricultural land. We're moving into greenfield, taking other habitat. We cannot continue to do that. It's not sustainable for us and the other things that we depend on.
This is 89.1 WEMU. Our conversation about Viridian at County Farm Development continues with Matt Grokoff. He is principal at Thrive Collaborative, and this week is Group 1 approval from the Board of Commissioners to begin moving forward with a unique sustainable community development on what is right now a Washtenaw County-owned property on Platte Road. Let's talk affordability. How many units will there be in total?
So we're looking at probably around 150 units total. Avalon will be doing 150 units of housing that is under 60% of area median income.
Which comes to what today?
So, you know, I don't know what the exact number is, but the other part of that, so half of their units will be under 60%. The other half will be under 30%, which is really deeply affordable housing. And some of those families will be making well under $25,000 a year. And then we'll also have luxury homes as well that will go up to, you know, $500,000 to $600,000. So there'll be literally every range of income. But most importantly, we're really working to collaborate with the county and with the city, and we're working with Habitat for Humanity to figure out how can we get creative here and take those other 100 units and figure out how do we get affordability at every level in here and get between that gap that we have right now between the 60 to 80% of area median income, which is truly that middle income that's the real challenge for Ann Arbor and a lot of communities.
If you were talking about roughly $100,000 at the low end, up to $600,000, it also requires kind of a change in thinking because mm-hmm. typically people who want to invest in $600,000 house want other $600,000 houses around them to maintain property values. And do you think there is the demand and the
Absolutely.
Appetite for this kind of mixed income living?
Absolutely. People are not really afraid of living near other poor people. What they're afraid of is areas that are not maintained well, that don't look good. That's when people fear each other. When people get to live near each other and know each other, and this is actually proven that if you can start integrating neighborhoods, if you can move poor families out of poor neighborhoods, the possibilities for economic mobility are almost tenfold. Your children are much more likely to come out of poverty in a single generation if they don't live in a poor neighborhood, all other things being equal. So that's the social benefit of it. But as far as market demand for it, we live on the Old West Side. There's actually Ann Arbor public housing scattered all through the Old West Side. There are already $500,000 and $600,000 houses next to my neighbor next door. Actually makes $750 a month and lives in affordable housing. And our house is probably in the neighborhood of $550,000.
Well, Matt Grokoff, as our time starts to wind down together, I want to ask you this. It seems to me that the success of this project is important. It could potentially set development precedent. Failure could set back the sustainable community and affordable living concept. So what in your mind are the factors that are going to ensure that Viridian at County Farm is the success it needs to be to advance your greater mission of spreading these kinds of developments throughout the county and throughout the rest of the state and country?
Yeah, three words: creativity, collaboration, and compassion. That's it. If we can come together and change the platform for dialogue and really do this as an integrated design process, we will achieve these goals. There's no doubt. The greater risk is not trying at all, because the current pathway is, like I said earlier, is a death sentence.
I want to just point out that you brought your daughter with you today.
Yes.
And how old is she?
Jane is 8 years old.
8 years old. So through this process, there is also an educational component for
yes.
all in our community.
Yeah.
What do you hope the children of today might take away from the concept of Viridian at County Farm and take through the rest of their education and on into their adulthood?
Hey, that's a great question, David. And that's one of the things I'm most excited about, because I look at my two daughters and I think they were born into a home with solar panels on the rooftop and soon with an electric car that will be powered by more solar panels. For them, this is the new normal. I was just up in Habitat for Humanity in Traverse City, where I helped work with them to create a 10-home Habitat community of all net-zero energy homes. And I talked with one of the daughters of one of the families there, and she's 13 years old. And I said to her, what's it like to grow up in a net-zero energy home? She goes, it's okay. It's just normal. And I said, that's the greatest thing you could say about it. It's just normal.
Well, we will look forward to seeing if it's going to be just normal on Platte Road in the very near future. Matt Grokoff, thank you very much for your time today, and congratulations.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on today.
Once again, that is Thrive Collaborative Principal Matt Grokoff. I'm David Fair, and you are listening to 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.